You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question, actually two questions, from Michaela in Illinois. Michaela, thank you for the email, and nice to hear from someone in Chicago. Actually, I just had another email from Chicago on a few episodes ago, so I guess Chicago is kind of a hub of CCPT these days. That's exciting. All right, so two questions from Michaela, and I'll read a little bit of her email and then both questions, and we'll dive in. Before I get into that, I'm excited to report that quite a few of you have RSVP'd for, or registered, I suppose, for the live podcast event. I just checked numbers and we already have quite a few registered. So really looking forward to that. If you have not done so yet, January 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern, please hop on, but you will need to register and the link will be in the show notes. So please make sure that you have a Zoom account and that you are able to get registered for that. And then we'll know how many will be there and I'll be able to gauge a little bit more how to structure that hour together. Alrighty, so let's hear a little bit from Michaela, and then we'll dive into the questions. I wanted to reach out and say thank you for your podcast. I'm sure you get a ton of emails like this. I do, but I'm always grateful for them. To share my journey, I'm a graduate MSW student in a clinical therapy internship in the Chicago suburbs. I wasn't a, quote, kid person and have virtually no experience with them. Isn't it funny how God directs our paths? But I wanted to be open to kids as the new intern. I started working with two kids, aged 8, and in preparation was so clueless that I took to the internet like all Gen Z students were taught and Googled child therapy models. I found CCPT as one of the first options and really liked what I saw. Then I found your podcast shortly thereafter and started listening constantly. It made so much sense and it wasn't easy, but it was simple. And isn't that the truth? It is not easy, but it is simple. I've been in my internship about 3 months now, and I have exclusively been learning and practicing CCPT with my young friends. Congratulations, Michaela. I am so happy for you. I share it with my colleagues and now tell all my children's parents about your podcast as a resource during my intake sessions. I explain the model to parents now as well, and I might begin to market myself as someone who uses this specific approach. High five over the airwaves. I'm really turning into a kid therapist. Yes. I feel the social work advocate in me coming out as I advocate for their right to autonomy and value in having safe spaces where they are unconditionally loved and accepted. I also want to say I love CCPT because it aligns with my spiritual religious values as a Christian. Finding the CCPT model was so validating for me to find something that aligned with both my clinical and spiritual values, and I echo that 100%. All right, so I have a few questions on CCPT. The first, does this model still work if I don't have the range of toys in the categories? I work in an agency with basic board games, Legos, and coloring books. I always start my kids with saying, "You're in charge, you can choose what you do for today." But I don't have any of the toys that fall into the categories and themes you describe or a playroom. Will the model still work? Short answer, yes. So let's dive into this a little bit. It is actually quite common to not have a fully equipped playroom, to be in a very small space that was an afterthought. You know, oh, you can have this janitor's closet, and I'm not making that up. I've actually had clinicians that have let me know that they were given a janitor's closet to make into their playroom. And in many environments, there is not a fully equipped playroom, that there is not a permanent playroom, and or it's not fully functional in the way of having the three categories broadly represented and all of the things that we would like to see. However, the beauty of children and their play is that they will use what they have. In other words, whatever they do have access to, they will make it work. Let me tell a really quick story because I think this will illustrate the point. I don't know how often I've talked about this, but I taught English in Honduras for quite a few summers. And I would say a large chunk of my heart is still there. I have such a special place in my heart for Honduras and the people and the country and the culture and all of it. So really, really special to me. And I have vivid memories. And we were in very rural, mountainous, small villages, no electricity, no plumbing. The water literally was piped with a pump straight from the river to the shower head, and you could only wash like one part of you at a time because the water was so cold. You like didn't want to be in the stream of water. You could not flush toilet paper. There was no electricity. We ate off of the land around us. I mean, it was about as poor third world rural mountainous village that you can imagine. And I'm telling you that to say the very first time that we pulled into this town. By the way, if any of you are from Honduras or have been to Honduras, it was the tiny little town of Conchillas. And we pull in, and these are extremely impoverished families. Dirt floors, ramshackle huts, many without solid roof on the home, just as poor as poor gets. And kids had found an old bike rim. So think of a bike tire. The old rim, so you know that the tire was long, flat, and ruined, so removed from the frame. And they had two sticks, and they were running barefoot down the dirt road, rolling the tire rim, holding two sticks so that they could keep the tire balanced as they chased it down the hill and it rolled. And I remember thinking, I was not a play therapist at the time, well, had never even heard of play therapy. And I remember thinking, kids will come up with ways to play no matter how little they have. And then another illustration that I think about is when you give a child a present and they play with the box more than they play with the toy. You know, like you get a new refrigerator and they will play in that refrigerator box for 8 weeks because it can be a fort and a rocket ship and an airplane and a boat and whatever else. And you go, why do I buy toys when they will just have so much fun with this box? It's creative, imaginative play, and it's making do with what is available. So those are my two stories to illustrate my point, Michaela. I promise I'm circling back. You said you have board games, Legos, and coloring books. Not very much at all. But in the child-centered model, it's about the relationship anyway, which that's actually going to be a big part of my answer to your second question, so I won't jump ahead. But we know it's about the relationship. We know it's about the autonomy and the freedom. And the child can choose to color, the child can choose to play games, or the child can choose to build with Legos. And if you say you can play with the toys in most of the ways that you want, and you're in charge, that is very clear that the child will do what they need to do. If they need to be imaginative or creative, they'll likely play with Legos. If they need safe, structured activities, they will likely gravitate toward board games. If they kind of want a hybrid of both, they might color. They might do something else entirely. They might pick up markers and drum on the table. They might find a piece of paper wadded up and use it as a ball and throw it against the wall and catch it. Kids are wired to play, and they will play with what they have access to. Now, I don't know what your capabilities are in the way of adding some things to the room. I would absolutely, even if it's at your own expense, I would add some things. Even if you have to bring them in and then take them back out, get a really large Rubbermaid container, go to the dollar store, go to thrift stores, go to garage sales, and at a very low cost, start accumulating some of the things from the three categories. And then you can put them out and take them back if they can't stay in the room, or they can stay in the room. And even if you spend $20, $25, $30 to get some other stuff in there, it will absolutely bring value. It will be money well spent, and your children will benefit from it. But even if you are unwilling or unable to do that, with what you have in there, it is more about the relationship and it is more about your language with them in the room than what they're actually able to do. So I would say, yes, absolutely. The model will still work. Okay, so second question. I'm an intern and I am, of course, still learning a ton on how to do therapy in general and this model specifically. Will the approach still work without a perfect technical application from me? I'm trying to be open and trust the process and tell parents to trust the process, but I do wonder if I'm actually doing what I think I'm doing and if I should be confident in that or change my therapeutic approach. All right, well, You probably know me. You say you listen to my podcast pretty religiously. So you know I'm not going to advocate that you change your therapeutic approach at all. 100% all in CCPT. However, you are trying to be open and trust the process. That's what you need to do. It's what is a necessity in this scenario. And you communicate that to parents as well. I wonder if I'm actually doing what I think I'm doing. Well, I'm not sure what you think you're doing, but I will say this. If you think that you are all in on CCPT and you are building and maintaining and preserving a relationship with your clients and you are staying adherent to the model as much as you know it, if you think that's what you're doing, then you absolutely trust the process and you are patient. And will this still work without a perfect technical application for me? Let's be really clear and really real. There is not a one of us, myself included, that has a perfect technical application of this model at every minute of every session that we have with kids. Not a one of us. So are there varying degrees of imperfection among us? I'm sure. But none of us are perfect at this, and we don't have to be. Because the clinical matters, the skills are important, but at the end of the day, the relationship trumps all. So we work on that and that alone. The easiest ways to do that, your 3 reflective responses, your 5 be with attitudes. You keep those in mind and you will be on track. You will be adherent. You will build and maintain and preserve the relationship. And the child will self-actualize because the child will want to become a better version of themselves. So absolutely the model works even without perfect technical application from you. Because if it required perfect technical application, none of us would have any success with our clients. But over and over and over again, we watch the transformations take place in front of our eyes. So it is more about the relationship than anything else. Michaela, focus on that. The relationship is the most important piece of what we do. You stay really, really clearly attuned to that. The things that we want to see happen will happen. Michaela, thank you so much for the question. I hope that that was helpful for all of you. Actually, both questions. And we are always trying to keep in mind through every single day, every single hour in a playroom, we're trying to keep in mind why we do this. Even with our imperfection, even with our lack of toys, even with our confusion and unknown of what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing or saying or not saying, or do I even have any idea what's going on right now? In the midst of all of that, we're doing this to provide a space for kids that need to be unconditionally loved and accepted. The relationship, the environment, the time, the tools, and the opportunity. If those are present, the miraculous change takes place. And that is why we trust the process, because we know that that is true. So if we remind ourselves of that, we can get through a lot of unknown. All right, love y'all so much. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.